Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. I will bless his holy name. I'm here today, praise God, to say thank you, Lord, once again for the word. Thank you, Father God, for allowing me, praise God, to be able to come before your front today and to just share with you the goodness of the Lord, to share with you, praise God, how good God really is. I know, praise God, that you know that he's good, but he's indescribable, delicious, because one thing about him, praise God, he's not a duplicator. He is the originator. Thank you, Father. And tonight, praise God, I'm going to come to you with the word of God. But before we go, praise God, I just want to say thank you once again for your time and your attention in the word. This is Pastor Ola Starling with the Anointed Word Ministry. We're here today, praise God, to break the bread of life with you and pray that you understand and that you get, praise God, what you're looking for out of the word. One thing about it, praise God, if you don't come looking for anything, you don't get anything. But if you come looking and seeking, you shall find. Amen. And I want to go to the word today and invite those, praise God, that don't know the Lord to come, praise God, as you are. And he will in no wise cast you out. Come as you are. You do not have to dress up for him. You don't have to change for him. Because if you come to him, my friend, he will do the changing. He will bring out the new and get rid of the old. Amen. But, Father, tonight as we come to you, Lord, we come in your grace and your mercy. We come, Father God, asking, Lord, that you, as being God of God and King of King and Lord of Lord, that, Father, that you will look upon us tonight, praise God, and wash us, praise God, with the hyssop of your word. Praise God, wash us whiter than snow. Father God, that we may be able, praise God, to call upon your name in purity. That we may be able, praise God, to call upon your God and you hear us when you hear us, praise God, and you will answer. But Father God, we thank you once again for your love. We thank you for your protection. We thank you for your providing. We thank you, praise God, for all that you do for us. We thank you, Father God, for watching over us when we can't see the danger. God, you see it, praise God, and you deal with it. Because you said it in your word to cast all your cares upon him. You, because you care for us. And tonight, God, we're casting our cares upon you. Father God, you will meet the very need. You know our thoughts are far off before we ask them. And, Lord, I do thank you tonight for being God over my life. Thank you, Lord, for blessing my children and keeping them and providing for them. And, praise God, most of all, Father, I thank you for saving them. Because now, Lord, I call those things as though they were not, as though they were. And, Father God, I thank you because your word don't lie. God, you will provide, praise God. Father God, you are a provider. Hey, God, I thank you, Lord, for your provision. Thank you, Lord, for your kindness. And thank you, praise God, for your guidance. And thank you, praise God, for the blood covenant over our lives. Praise God, I thank you for placing the blood over my doorposts, over my family's doorposts, keeping the enemy, praise God, at bay. And God, I thank you because we know there is power in the blood of Jesus. And God, I thank you for that power today. But, Lord, as we come now, Father, if there's anyone under the sound of my voice that do not know you in the pardon of their sin, Father God, reach in, change that stony heart, and change it, praise God, into a heart, praise God, that would hear you and obey and seek you while they yet can be found. Father God, if they would just open their mouth, repent, believe, and receive, Father God, they could become a child of God tonight. Oh, Father God, I thank you, God, for your word. But, Lord, most of all, Father, as I go into the word tonight, open the understanding, God, with clarity, understanding, praise God. And, Father God, it would be so plain that a fool could not err. But, Lord, I thank you for your word dwelling in me. I am blessed, and I thank you for the blessings. God, continue to keep us, watch over us, and bless us. In Jesus' name. And tonight, praise God, I want to talk briefly with you, praise God. You know, I don't know that much about the football or all of that, but I do know a little something about the basketball. But tonight, praise God, we're going to go into the scripture of Samuel, 1 Samuel I'm going to go into the scripture, 1 Samuel 17, 1 through 51. And we're going to read Samuel. We're going to go through the verses, praise God, bringing down, praise God, this home run. Hallelujah. We're going to be talking about 1 Samuel 17 and 32 and 37. 1 Samuel 17, 1 through 51. And we're going to, you can read it at your spare leisure. Praise God, 1 Samuel 17:32-37. But tonight, praise God, we have two teams here at war. Hallelujah. And you know, praise God, when we talk about, praise God, I'm not sorry, at war, but is in a game. Because in order for you to have a complete football game, you must have two teams against each other. You can't just play football. They do that flag football. But we're talking about the football. And the Saints, praise God, we're using the teams tonight as the Saints starting out with three. And the Giants with zero. The Saints have three already on the scoreboard. And the Giants have only nothing but zero. But in these verses, it's going to tell us about, it's about a classic matchup, praise God, between the Israelites and the Philistines. And the two people were long-standing enemies, hallelujah, who showered and showed up often on the history and telling us, praise God, that the battles such as this were often decided by having each side choose their bravest and strongest warrior. But these two, praise God, had been meeting between the opposite forces and fighting to the death. But when the contest was ended, the side that won, when the football game ended, the side that lost would become the servant to the victor. And this seemed to be what was happening right now, was happening here in the Valley of Elah, 17:8-9. Now, the only problem with this situation was the fact that the Philistine champion, listen to me now, this Philistine champion, was no ordinary person. This was no ordinary person that they were playing up against. That was a person, praise God, that everybody feared and everybody would move aside when, even when they heard his name being called. So by in doing that, praise God, we know, praise God, that this was not just no ordinary player. He was not an ordinary player. He was one, praise God, that moved, praise God, and when he moved, things shook. And he made it happen, praise God. Praise God, he would move and things would happen. So we know for a fact, praise God, that he was just not no ordinary person. Are you hearing me now? He was just not an ordinary person. And we see here that the champion was an ordinary soldier. Now, the Bible tells us that we was quiet. He was quiet. He was quite an impressive piece of humanity in 1 Samuel 17:4-7. It tells us something of this man's status. He was about 9'9". Yes, he was. And he was that tall. And he wore armor that weighed approximately 175 pounds. And with a spearhead that weighed in about 15 pounds in verses 7. And this was no ordinary soldier. And the verse 5 and 6 tells us that this man was covered from head to toe in armor that was made of solid brass. My goodness, who's going to run up against that? But imagine this 10-foot tall dude stepping down, praise God, stepping down on the field. Right? And this is what we call the field with the Valley of Elah. Just as the sun began to climb high against the Philistine sky, this man came down the east face of the field, and at the sun shining and hitting his brass, he made him look like something, some kind of a solid gold monster. No wonder, praise God, when he struck fear in the heart of God's people. The field of combat, but then the contest was always about one thing, which people would serve the other. And every day for 40 days, the giants appeared before the armor of Israel and mocked him, cursing their God, and challenged them to send someone out to fight him. You see? Now, we're talking about the giants and the saints. The saints started out with three, but the giants have zero. And every day, Saul and the army of the Israelites trembled at the armor and were afraid to go and fight this giant. Are you still with me? He was afraid to go and fight the giant because he had struck fear into the hearts of men. You see, it must have looked like the Philistines would win the battle. But thank God the Lord always had a man and a ram in the bush, yes. And about the time, a young man named David, who was already had been handpicked by the Lord to become the next king of Israel in 1 Samuel 16, was sent by his father Jesse to carry the supplies out, praise God, to David. And David's brothers, who were fighting in the Saul's army, in verses 12, 18, but when David arrived at the place of the battle, he spake with his brothers when all of a sudden Goliath makes one of his twice daily appearance and repeat his challenge, and he would taunt them. But this time, my friend, this thing was going to be just a little bit different. Oh, the soldiers still panic, and they reacted in terror. And in verse 24, but this time Goliath and his threats were heard by a young boy whom God believed had a calling on his life. And David took the certain steps in setting this situation right then and there. And a clear portrait of the walk of faith that should be exhibited in every believer's life. In this message, from the faith to fouls, David shows us what faith does when faith is faced with the giant, and the battle and the obstacles. It is those qualities of David's faith that I would like for us to just take a little bit and look at a little while. As we join David in this walk of faith, I want to talk to you, praise God, for a while. I want to talk to you for a while on the thoughts of the Saints 3 and the Giants 0. Now, note these qualities of the genuine faith. See, faith, praise God, move God. Faith move God. It is impossible to please him without faith. In verse 23 and 27, the faith reacts to this. When David heard the challenge and the blasphemy of Goliath, and when he heard that David was going to richly bless the men who defeated this giant, David made up his mind that he was going to be that man. Yes, yes, yes. And notice how interesting he is in this promised reward. In verses 26 and 30, you see, the Israelites and the Goliath represented a stumbling block to the will of God, that it might not be accomplished. But this giant was standing in the way of God's business, and he had to go. He had to be dealt with. Yes, he had to be dealt with. And David's faith would not allow him to stand idle while Goliath defeat the God of the heaven. Now, this is something I want you to understand in this message. For every believer, when the Lord saves us, he places his spirit within each of our hearts. Now, when one of his life's giants appear in our view, the giants don't have to be David and Goliath. You can have giants, praise God, in your situation, in your home, in your marriage, in your family, with your children, on your job. These are considered, praise God, as giants. And so what happened is, now, when one of our life giants appears into view, there arises within the heart of the children of God a desire to see that giant fall. And all around, there are many be those who tells us that the giant is too strong for us, or that we are unable to overcome it. But, my friend, when the world and the faithless cries, God can't, there is one in our hearts who raises up and declares with all the forces he possesses, God can. God can. And when I'm praise God, and what I'm trying to tell you is this. I'm trying to tell you, praise God, that you have faith. It is not content to let the devil and the world or the obstacle that hinders the work of the Lord in your life win the battles of life. Faith demands victory over these things. Therefore, my friend, we can say that faith reacts. Faith reacts by standing when a pagan king says, bow. Hear Jesus in Daniel 3. Faith reacts by praying when a pagan king says, don't. David, Daniel 6. Faith reacts by preparing for a flood when it has never, ever rained like that before. Genesis 6. And faith reacts by letting down one net at the word of God, even when you have finished all that. You've been trying to fish all night long. You know, you've been toiling with your situations all night long. You've been going through and you see no way out, but you're still toiling. But I want to let you know, when Jesus said, let the net down, you need to obey the Holy Ghost, because Luke 5:7, 5:4 says, all I am saying is that faith looks at the obstacles and sees an opportunity instead of faith reaction. Come on, Holy Ghost. See, faith reaction. You see, faith resolves. And as we move deeper, praise God, into this message, David makes his own mind up that the Goliath has to die. It's time for that saint, it's time, praise God, for that a giant to come down, because the saints is already on the scoreboard. Oh, come on now, Jesus. And he says, when he makes this statement, he is immediately met with opposition. First, his brother, Eli, tells him that David is just there to show off and see and be seen. Then when the king heard of David's plan. See, God said, when you make a plan, write the plan. Write it down and make it plain. See, David's plan, he tells David that he can't be done. It can't be done, praise God, because David is just a kid. And Goliath is a real man and a warrior. But nevertheless, praise the Lord, how would you like to have these guys for your cheerleaders? How would you like them for your cheerleaders? However, David did not allow the naysayers, the potato family, you know, agitator, imitator, he didn't allow them, praise God, to dissuade him from what his heart told him he must do. Faith has reacted within him, and he resolved to do something about that giant. Friends, you might as well face that fact. Now that when your faith reacts and you're resolved, your problem is too, praise God, you think it's too hard to resolve and too simple. Believe God by faith. And there will always be, praise God, that crowd who will pump up and tell you, praise God, that you can't do it. This is the one, praise God, send them. Let them, praise God, advertise for me. Yes, keep talking. Keep saying what God cannot do. And egg God in my life. Then they'll talk about you behind your back. They'll talk about you in your face. And sometimes, praise God, they'll talk about you standing right there and say things like, who does she think she is? Some kind of super saint? Or you know you can't do that? You don't even have the money. Or you're not educated enough and you're not trained enough to do this. She's too young to think that she can just follow God like that. But friend, don't let the crowd get to you. They tried that jump with David. And then, praise God, even tried that stuff with Jesus Christ. In John 7:3-6, David prevailed by faith. Jesus prevailed by faith. And you and I can prevail by faith. Faith moves God. And when faith makes up its mind, it cannot be stopped short of its victory. Hallelujah. In 1 John 5:4, well, we will always have that can't and that canter, you know, but true faith wins victories. We must understand, praise God, that faith reminds. Faith reminds us and it remembers. When David heard the objective of Saul to his going to do the battle with the giants, David began to remember something the Lord had done for him in the past. You see, sometimes it's good to reminisce about where God has brought you from. See, when we messed up, praise God, when God brought us over, praise God, he told us, do not forget the hand that led you. always remember from which you did come. Hallelujah. And see, David began to remember some things the Lord had done for him in the past. I can see him at this, as he was standing there and assessing the file cabinet in his mind. Hallelujah. He opened the drawers and the thumbs, thumbed through the files until he came to the letter G. Oh, my God. He opened his file looking for something informing and defeating the giant. Come on, Jesus. And then not only that, but guess what? Then he praised God, but he found that his file, it was empty. He found it being empty. It was empty, but guess what? Then he remembered a day when a wild lion came out the forest and attacked his sheep. He leaped on the back through the file until his eyes laid on the L. He opened up his file and read it. A lion took a lamb out of the flock, and I went after him and smote him and delivered him out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard. I smote him. I slayed him. And the Lord delivered me out of the paw of the lion. Then under that, David sees and writes this note. Note to self. Thank you, Jesus. Remember, when facing lions, trust God. He always gives the victory. Saints, yes. The saints won, the lion zero. And I see a smile across his lips as he began to remember a time when a bear came out of the forest and attacked the flock. So he goes to the file of his front file, and he looks into his drawers to the file and marks with the letter. He opens the file and reads, a bear took a lamb out of the forest, and I went after him, and I smote him, and I delivered him out of his mouth. And when he arose again, I caught him by the beard, and I smote him. I smote him and slew him, and the Lord delivered me, hallelujah, out of the paw of the bear. Then until that, David sees and he writes a note to himself. Remember, when facing the bear, trust God. He always gives the victory. The saints, two. The bear, zero. He shares all this information with Saul and says, oh, by the way, King Saul, before I close my files, I have better make myself a little note to remind me of something. And Saul said, what is that, David? Ah, Jesus. So he thumbed back through the files in the drawer and pulled out a folder marked with the letter G again. And he opens the file and writes the following words. A giant came down of a mountainside, and one day, and attacked the flock of God. I went after him, and I smote him, and delivered the people of God out of his hand. And when he rose against me, I buried a stone, hallelujah, in his head, and then I cut off his head with my own sword, and the Lord delivered me out of the hands of the Philistines. Then as he was about to close the file, he wrote a following note again. And the note to himself reminded him, when facing the giants, trust God. He always give you the victory. The saints have three, but the giants have zero. And when he had made David, what tell me this, my friend, what made David so determined to defeat Goliath? It was the same thing that motivated him to kill the lion and the bear and the shepherd of the flock that he was attending in the field. If the same thing, praise God, that he was, praise God, able to go and pull the lamb out of the lion's mouth. Hallelujah. The responsibility for protecting the sheep. So he killed the attackers and delivered the sheep. And when it came to Israel, David had already been anointed to be the next king of Israel. He was their shepherd. And when he saw the people being attacked, hallelujah, by Goliath, he just reacted with the heart of a shepherd. You say, praise God, you're a preacher. You made all that up? Oh, did I? Look at what David said. He knew the outcome before the battle ever took place. How? Faith reminds and remembers what God has done in the past. And faith knows what God does change. What he did then, he's still doing now. People, let me encourage you. This time and this word tonight, by reminding you that God is still the same God who stepped from behind the curtains, hallelujah, of nowhere onto the stage of nothing and spoke everything into existence. He's still the same God who hung the stars in their sockets and placed the planets in their orbits. He still owns the cattle of a thousand hills. He's still the same God who saved you by grace when you were excused that the little mustard seed he gave you, the size of a grain, praise God, that you can use to move mountains. He's still the one who met that need for you when you didn't know where to turn and who to turn to. He's still that one, praise God, who touched that loved one and healed them for you. He's still that same one, praise God, that saved, praise God, your children from death, praise God. He's still that one, praise God, that saved your life. What has God done for you lately? Can you still say what God has done for you? Can you still believe God through faith? You see, our little problems is for a big God. And Goliath, we face Goliath every day of our life. We face poses to Goliath. He's greater. God is greater than all of our needs. In all of our needs. Faith reacts. Faith resolves. Faith is a reminder. And when Saul heard that David had fled, and when David had, he didn't fly, I'm sorry, when David had fouled away about God, he sent David into the battle. When Saul heard what David had did, he sent David into the battle with his blessing. He even tried to suit David up in his armor. David said, I don't need that. It's too big for me anyway. I got more than enough. And however, David knew that what he had, it worked. It will work if you work it. Verses 38 and 9. And when he fought the lion and the bear, all he had was his staff, his slingshot, and his Lord. If he's going to face this giant, then he will rely on those things that has never failed him. He takes off Saul's armor, and David takes off his staff, his sling, and stopped by a brook. Ha! And selects him five stones, smooth stones. Mm-hmm. And then he goes out to meet Goliath. In verses 40 and 41, when the giant sees the young man coming out to fight him, he began to poke fun. He began to laugh. He began to joke. The giant is insulted. He's insulted. How does these Jews send out to me a boy to fight me? Seem to be what? What is he saying? In verses 42 and 43, and he cursed David. And then Goliath tells David that I'm going to kill you and feed your carcass to the birds and the wild beast. Goliath's speech is a short one, but David had a little more on his heart. He tells Goliath that the battle is not mine, but it is the Lord's. And that's before the sun goes down. Both Goliath and Israel know that the Lord God is God. Imagine Goliath impatient as David goes through his little speech. Little bitty boy, notice David's use of words, and he just kept on telling the giant now how he is going to destroy the giant in the power of the Almighty God. He let him know, I'm going to destroy you. You cannot defeat me because I have more than enough. Hallelujah. And today, praise God, what the Lord is saying to us, be not afraid of your giants in your life. I'm here to deliver you from the giant. I will bring you out. Yes. What are you saying? follow David in his fight with Goliath. He didn't back down. Well, Goliath's dead. Israel wins a great victory. David leaves the battlefield a great war hero. As a momentum of his victory, he's taken the armor of Goliath and puts it in his tent. Now, if David looked it ridiculous in Saul's armor, what he's going to do, the armor made to fit a man 9'9" tall, 9 feet, 9 inches tall. Well, I can imagine in later years, as the giant of life come to David again and again, he would return to the file cabinet in his mind. He would open the file in Mark G and read these words, a second note to self when facing giants in the future. Just look, hallelujah. Yeah, God, you get emotion. Look, just look in the corner and trust God. Saints 3, giant 0. I don't know what you may be facing, but I know one man who can send you home shouting the victory tonight. Bring your giants to Jesus. He is still in the giant killing business. Hallelujah. Hey, God. Yeah, God. I pray, praise God, that you know who can carry those giants. I hope you pray, praise God, know who can help you destroy those giants. There is no giant in your life that God can't give you the strategy to tear it down and destroy it, praise God, and go home shouting the victory. I pray, praise God, you have been blessed from this word tonight. Be blessed, praise God. Listen to the word. Write the scripture down. Enjoy, because it is good all by itself. Until, praise God, until Friday, praise God, just know one thing. The Lord has a remedy for every giant in your life. You be blessed. You be blessed.